Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at something. And of course, if you have your tithe and your offering that you'd like to give, that can be given any time during the service. And we appreciate your faithfulness and generosity in giving. How many know it's good to give to the Lord? Yeah. Amen. He really will take care of you. We just got to put seed in the ground and he'll make it grow and multiply it to us. Matthew chapter 16. And Peter answered a question that Jesus asked about who he was or whom do the people say that I am. And verse 16 says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" And I want you to know that revelation brings blessing. Okay? Verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven.'" So where did Peter get this truth that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Where did he get that truth? From the Father. All right? Would you say that that truth was already in existence in the Spirit? It was already established. It was already truth. It just wasn't known to man. And without thinking, without going to school, the Father just showed Peter who Jesus is. All right? Okay? And so in essence, Peter was given a key that opened a door, that opened a door to revelation or to the revelation of truth. You know, the revelation of truth is the truth made known. Okay? And God just decided to show Peter that truth because Peter spoke it out. He didn't even know what he was saying, I don't think. He just spoke it out. Peter was like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. And so he received a key. And verse 19, Jesus told Peter, he says, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom." Aren't you glad that there are some keys of the kingdom of heaven? All right? "And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In other words, who has the responsibility of bringing heaven to earth? We do. The body of Christ, right? When Jesus was here on the earth physically, he was the body of Christ. But now that he's gone to heaven, you and I are the body of Christ. He is the head and we're his body. Okay? So God has given to his body the keys of the kingdom. All right? Now, for just a moment, I want you to go to Hebrews. We're going to divert just a little bit. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. The Lord just showed me this. The reason that God can give us keys to the kingdom of heaven is because everything that we need already exists in heaven. God doesn't have to create it. It's already there. Well, if it's in heaven, how do we get it here? We get it by faith. All right, watch this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Would you agree with me that you can use substance to make something, right? Everything, these walls are made of a substance, right? These chairs are made of a substance, okay? You and I are made of a substance, all right? We're actually just big dirt balls. Don't laugh, ladies, you're ribs. For the evidence of things not seen. So substance and evidence are actual things that already exist, but they come to this realm by faith. In other words, we connect with God through faith in Him, faith in His Word, and we cause the unseen to be seen. All right? When you're sick, what do you need? You may not see that healing right now, but by faith, you can receive it. When did God heal you? He healed you when He died on the cross, when He shed His blood, when He took the stripes on His back, every one of those stripes, that's when your healing was purchased, that's when your healing was brought into existence, that's when the substance of your healing was there. It's already there. If your bill's paid, you don't have to pay it again. It's a done deal. So now by faith, We take the keys that God gives to us, and we unlock the door of the stuff that's already there and bring it here. And this is by revelation. Okay? For by it, the elders obtained a good report. The good report was there, but by faith, they brought the good report to them right now. Okay? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? By the Word of God. Did you realize that the reason this universe exists is because God spoke some words? And those words are powerful enough to hold up the universe. Okay? So God's word provided the framework for what we see, for all of creation. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Has anybody ever seen the wind? You've seen the effects of the wind. You may have heard the wind, but you have not seen the wind. But that does that mean that the wind is not there? No, because the wind blows, something is blowing the stuff, right? But see, wind is an invisible thing, but it can do things. How many have seen gravity? Can you see gravity? But is gravity in effect right now? Something that's invisible is operating in this earth, keeping our feet on the ground. All right? And thank God for gravity, otherwise we'd just be floating all around. But my point is this. Everything that you need, want, and desire is already waiting for you to take the key to unlock the door and to bring it to you. It already exists as far as God is concerned. Okay? Go with me to John chapter 6. I didn't plan on going this route, but this is where the Lord is leading. All right? And go down to verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat. How many were there for dinner? That was 5,000 men, not including women and children. Now, if we were to come over your house, 5,000 people of men, would you have enough food in your refrigerator to feed us? No. I want to tell you something, though. Abundance already exists in the spirit realm. But we just have to take the right key to bring it into the physical realm. Okay? So, he asks his disciples, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Say, he knew what he would do. See, Jesus lived in eternity. He was never concerned about the natural because he knew what existed in eternity. He never lacked because he knew what existed in eternity. He knew what him and the Father and the Holy Spirit made. He knew that stuff already existed, so he never got nervous. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. Everybody say here. The power to multiply what is already here already exists. Okay? Which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Why? He already knows that abundance exists. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. He got out of the natural realm into the spirit. They now were in the hands of the Creator. Okay? And when he had given thanks, why do you give thanks? You give thanks for someone who already gave you something. Jesus already knows that there is more than enough to feed these thousands and thousands of people. So they give it to him and he says thanks. And he begins to distribute to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down and likewise of the fishes as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. Say as much as they wanted. Not as much as they needed. As much as they wanted. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I thought God only takes care of your needs. No, he takes care of your needs, wants, and desires. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So he already saw God being more than enough. He already knows God is El Shaddai, all sufficient, almighty, more than enough. Okay? What caused the increase to come to these loaves and fishes? They used what they had, but when they got it into his hands, he gave thanks because he already knew what he would do before he did it, because he knows the beginning before the end. See, he already knew that provision existed. He already knew that God can multiply. He already knew that God could add to anything, because God is a creator. He already has it ready. And he simply received the multiplication of the fish and loaves by faith. Is that right? And there was more than enough. Everybody had what they wanted, plus there was 12 baskets left over. See, because keys give us access. And people were so taken back by this miracle. They saw the amount that they started with and the amount of people that were fed. See, so my point is this. God already has all that you need waiting for you. He is just waiting for you to use the keys that he's given you to get what's already yours. Okay? So keys give us access, control, and possession. All right? You know, we've looked at several different keys. Saying is a key. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. You can have what you say, right? How many believe that they can have what they say? All right, got to be careful what you say. Believing is a key. Hearing mixed with faith is a key. The Holy Ghost is a key. Favor is a key. All right, go with me to the book of Hebrews now. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at verse 5. Hebrews 10 and verse 5. He says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, hence, when he, Christ, entered into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but instead you have made ready a body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no delight. Then I said, lo, here I am. Here I am, come to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book. What is God more interested in? Is he interested in your sacrifices? 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you give all your money to the poor, but if you have not love, you're just a clanging cymbal and tinkling brass. If you let your body be burned, but you have not love, then it's void of meaning. It's vain. Okay? God wants your obedience. Because your obedience to his will is a key that opens heaven. These are keys to the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? It is God's method and way of doing things. How many know that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? You know, if he'd have just said our God is good, that'd be good. But he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. God can do more than that, and God always does more than that. Go with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And he's actually quoting here, starting with verse 6. Hebrews is quoting Psalm 40. It says, sacrifice and offering, verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Mine ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Did Jesus come to do the Father's will? Did he do someone else's will? Was he obedient? He was obedient to the death of the cross. Now, how many of us would be willing to be obedient in that way? If God told you, I'm going to send you to Palmyra so that you could die on a cross, how many of us would actually say yes? Many of us that would say no would not have that key of the kingdom open to us. See, we are here on this earth not to live for ourselves, but to live for God. We're here to do His will. We're here to accomplish His purpose. We're here to please Him. Amen? Period. And our obedience, what does it mean to be obedient? It means to attentively listen. It means to heed or conform to a command or authority. It means to hear under as a subordinate. How many know the story of King Saul? God told him, he said, Saul, I want you to kill all the Amalekites. Don't take anything, kill them all, wipe them out, because the Amalekites were bad people. They did bad things, and judgment came to the Amalekites, and it was going to be executed through Saul. All right? Saul went, and he fought the Amalekites. He defeated them, but, everybody say but, he kept Agag, which was the king. He kept the best of the flocks and the herds and all that stuff. All right? Did he think he did God's will? Yes. Okay, until Samuel came on the scene and Saul said, I have done the will of the Lord. Look at me. I have done the will of the Lord. Dun, dun, dun. But then Samuel said, what is this bleating of this sheep I hear? What did Saul's disobedience cost him? Cost him the kingdom. Oh yeah, he remained king for a few more years, but he did it without the anointing of God. And actually, he was tormented on a daily basis by an evil spirit. And the only relief that he could get was when David played under the anointing, that he could get some relief. Do you think it was worth the cost? See, disobedience denies you access into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the things that God has prepared for you, they already exist, but through disobedience, you are denied access to them. In other words, disobedience keeps the door of what you need locked. And you can't get in unless you have the key, and the key is obedience. See, Jesus came to do the will of him who's... He said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. He did not come on his own agenda. He surrendered completely and totally to the will of God. Even if it means dying on a cross, he was willing to do what the Father said to do without question, without negotiation. He just accepted what God's will was for him, and he did it. Because Jesus had all the keys. He accessed all the doors. He had everything. That's why nothing nerved him while he was on this earth, because he knew what was already there. When he needed to pay taxes, him and Peter came to the temple. They didn't have the treasurer with them, Judas. And they needed to pay their temple tax. What did Jesus say? Peter, go cast your line in, and the first fish you catch is going to have two gold coins in it, one for you, one for me. Boom. See, Jesus had no problem opening the doors to everything that he needed, wanted, and desired. Because he operated in that level. See, you know, he lived without sin. So our obedience is important. Everybody say, my obedience is important. It really is. Obedience is really it's a powerful key. You have to delight to do God's will. To delight in God's will. That means you take pleasure. That means you're willing. That means you line everything else up that you do according to His will. Listen, there's no good thing God withholds from us. He is not withholding any good thing. We are withholding it from ourselves through stupidity, ignorance, through unwillingness, through hard-heartedness. We disqualify ourselves from what God has for us. It's already there. It's already waiting. You know, why do you think that every healing that Jesus encountered, it was instant, it was immediate? Because He walked in this. Every word that He spoke, He said, rise up, hold you. Every word, you know, the person could rise up, stretch forth your hand, the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. He knew that God already had a brand new hand there waiting for him. And he just had to reach out by faith and to bring it to him. See, because really our faith is tied with our obedience. Because faith without works is what? See, if we don't have action to our faith, then we're not in obedience. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm spending too much time on this. I'm going to get on to the next one here. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, everybody say as a man, Jesus walked this earth as a man. Although he was God, he was also man. 100% God, 100% man, he's the perfect representative. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. How do you become obedient? You humble yourself. That means you allow people to correct you. You allow God to teach you. You conform to his image. All right? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him. How did he get highly exalted? Because of his obedience. See, our obedience is the key to our exaltation. Our obedience is the key to our promotion. Our obedience to God is the key to our increase. Can you say amen? And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. See, so the greater you obey, the greater God will pay. All right? You can't lose doing God's will. And because Jesus walked in it, now he's our example. We're to follow his example. Jesus actually showed us physically, while he was on this earth, he actually showed us what it meant to do God's kingdom. When he came on the scene, he said, the kingdom of God is what? At hand. It's near, right? So we have access to the same kingdom of God that he walked in. Can we do the works that Jesus did? Yeah. He said, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. We can do the very same works that he did. Why don't we? Because we don't take our keys and open the door. All right? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Another key is his blood. You know, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, They celebrated the Passover. And they were told to kill a lamb, to eat bitter herbs, to cook the lamb fully, and to eat it with their clothes on, with the staff in their hand, like they're ready to go. All right? And the lamb that they killed, they took the blood, and they put it on the doorposts, right? The two entranceways and above, okay? They applied the blood to the door of their house. And every house that had the blood applied to it was protected from death and destruction. When the angel of death came to that door and he saw the blood, he literally passed over that place because there was so much power in the blood that it stopped death. See, the key is, though, we have to apply the blood. Okay? And how do you apply the blood? You simply believe in its power to cleanse, its power to protect, its power to keep at bay the things of this world. Okay? Ephesians 2:12. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Say, that's a bad place. Say, that's where I was. I'm not there anymore. Where are you now? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ, he's given us all equal access to his throne. It is through the blood. The blood is the payment for our sin. That means that since the blood was shed, all of heaven's goods are now yours. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We get the same benefits that he gets because of his blood. So we're brought near by the blood. All right? Go to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 20. And having made peace. I want you to pay attention to that phrase, made peace. Does it have to be made? No, it already is made. It already exists. The peace that people need already exists. It's just that they have to get connected to the peace through the blood. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we know that the blood reconciles things. You know, if you make a mistake in your checkbook, and you, when the bank sends you the statement, and you look at the statement and you look in your checkbook and you see two different amounts, all right? What do you have to do? You have to reconcile. You have to go back and find out where the mistake was. Listen, we don't have to go back and find out our mistakes because the blood wipes out all the mistakes regardless of whether or not we know that we did them. The blood wipes out all the mistakes and gives us instantly a clean state, a clean slate with the Father. So the blood is a key. What does the blood open us up? It opens us up to the throne room of God. It opens us up to all the benefits of God. We have been given access through the blood to the Father. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When we put our faith in the blood, how do you put your faith in the blood? You declare that because of Jesus Christ and he shed his blood on the cross, that I am redeemed by the blood. That's putting your faith in the blood. That way you can access the benefits of the blood. It opens to you an area of the kingdom of heaven, the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. To plead the blood of Jesus is like to apply the blood to that situation. Why? Because the enemy cannot cross the bloodline. Without the shedding of blood, there would have been no remission of sins. But because blood was shed, we now have our sins remissed or gone, wiped away. Thank God. There's still power in the blood. The blood forgives. The blood heals. Every time we take communion, we're remembering the shed blood and the broken body. And the name of Jesus is a key, because there's no other name under heaven and earth whereby men can be saved. The name of Jesus gives you access to salvation. All right? It's the key to answered prayer. Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name. When we declare the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is right here, right now. That's how powerful it is. Never use the name of Jesus lightly or jokingly. Amen? We have to approach it with seriousness, because it's our delegated authority. And love is a key. Tithing and giving are keys. Honor is a key. And I want to talk about one final key tonight in the last few minutes that we have. And that is the anointing. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. All right, Luke chapter 4. And look at verse 18. Jesus was in church and he got up to read. The anointing is a key. Why is it a key? It destroys yokes and removes burdens. Jesus read this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he is going to anoint me. No, it doesn't say he's going to anoint me. What does it say? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Let me tell you something. You were anointed to do what you should do in this earth before you were born. You don't have to get anointed. You are anointed. But whether or not we are walking in that anointing, what is the anointing? It's the power of God. It's God's ability. It's God's glory. It's God's presence. Say, I was anointed. Now we have to act like we were anointed. If we act like we were anointed, then we'll walk in the anointing. Each one of us, you were anointed. You were set apart. You were separated. You were created to operate in your anointing. You were created to function in the body of Christ. You were created to serve. You were created to use your gifts, use your talents, and use your abilities long before you ever breathed your first breath. God already wrote it in a book. As far as he's concerned, he's already mapped out your life. The question is, are we following his map? Or do we need to update our GPS? You know, if you don't update your GPS often, you might get the wrong directions. You have to keep your GPS updated. You've got to go to the control center and you've got to download the GPS. You got to get updated coordinates because there might have been some new things, but the anointing hasn't changed. It's just you've gotten off path and now you've got to update your GPS to get back on track. What was the Lord anointed to do? He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It was already ready. It was already prepared. But now was the time of the unveiling. He had the revelation. And when he read this book, that's when the revelation took effect. That's when his anointing was brought right here. It was already there, but he unlocked that door. He got that anointing out of the closet, and it was now ready to use. See, there are certain things that you can't do on your own, and you need the anointing of God. We know that when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came on him. And he did not do one miracle before he was anointed. And there was a time and a place and a moment where what he was already anointed to do was revealed and made known. Okay? And when he came to John the Baptist, and John said, "You know what? I need to be baptized of you." Jesus said, "No, let it be so now, because this is the will of God." Notice, he didn't even take precedent when it came to his cousin baptizing him. When it came to the issue of his cousin baptizing him, he followed God's will. He could have said, "Now, okay, John, get ready, I'm going to baptize you." No, that wasn't God's will. But see, the anointing, go with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 20. "For all the promises of God in him are" what? Did you notice that when it comes to God's promises, it's not no and maybe? Why? Because as far as God's promises are concerned, they're already established in heaven. Every one of his promises already exist. But he's just waiting for us to take the key and open the door to his promise. All the promises of God in him, who in Christ. See, now people who are not in Christ cannot access the promise, because Christ is the key to the promise. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be your Lord in order for you to access the promise. Now, verse 21. "Now he which establishes us" or placed us "with you in Christ has anointed us in God." Whether you're young or whether you're old, you have an anointing. You are anointed. What does that mean? You're empowered by God. You're empowered to live in the kingdom. You're empowered to do what you've been called to do. And part of the of my job is to equip the body of Christ, to give you the tools to walk in your anointing. "Who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts," or the pledge or the down payment. And verse 23, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not yet as unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy by faith you stand. So this anointing, which is just the power of God, it's one of the keys. And to operate in the anointing, you simply yield to the anointing when the anointing is in manifestation. When the woman with the issue of blood, what happened when she touched the hem of his garment? Virtue went out from him because he was anointed with healing power. And when she connected to that power through faith, the virtue was already there. All right? And when Jesus went to the, remember the story of the house that was packed full, standing room only, and these guys brought their crippled friend? The Bible says in Luke 5 that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power was already there. But just because the power is here doesn't mean that you access it. You've got to use your key to open the door and access it. And God has given us, say, he's given me, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I have access to heaven, all of heaven's goods, all of heaven's blessings, all of heaven's benefits, all of heaven's power is mine through Jesus Christ. I can access that power anytime by faith. See, so simply, when we use our faith, you know, you don't have to use your faith. People who are in unbelief or in doubt will never, until they overcome their unbelief, you've got to overcome that in order to access these things. But you know what? God's anointing can do what we can't do. When we're limited, God's anointing is unlimited. What happens, he said in James, I'm closing with this. If is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, James 5, 13 through 16, and let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and it shall raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven. Now that's powerful, isn't it? Healing, raising up, and forgiveness, all with one anointing. And God wants to anoint you. And sometimes the anointing is transferred through the laying on of hands. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you just need a boost. That's about the best way that I can explain it. You need a jolt. You need a jump start. All right? You need, when they used to drive the horses, they'd go, you know, they'd snap that thing along the horse, you know, or they'd take the spur and they'd go, you know, to make the horse really go. Yeah. Some of you might need to be spurred on. And I believe that there's an anointing here to help spur you on to be all that you can be, to do all that you can do, to really take you from here to there in a breakthrough way. All right? I don't know if I'm explaining that, but that's what's on my heart. While I was praying today, the word anointing just kept coming up, coming up, coming up. And I believe God's got a special anointing for you. And for those of you that need to go, you can go. But for those of you that want to be anointed, we just want to anoint you right now in Jesus' name. All right? Come, my love. Hallelujah. Now, does God have to manufacture the anointing? It already exists. All you're doing is receiving it here in the now by faith. Okay? That's all you're doing. It's already here. It's like this. This Bible is already here, right? But if you want this Bible, Wanda, if you want this Bible to get to you, how would you do it? Well, show me. Now who has it? See? So that's how you have to receive the anointing. All right? The anointing is the power of God. It can do what I can't do, what we can't do. Hallelujah. And we're just going to pray. So I want you just to receive. All right? And whatever God wants to do with that, hallelujah, let him just do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh, we just release that anointing right now. Shoo, there it is, right there. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We just release this anointing right now to move from point A to point B quickly, rapidly. Hallelujah, Father, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we just release this anointing right now. Lord, we release this anointing in Jesus' name. We release this anointing, Father, right now. Oh, an impartation. Your power is at work, and you're faithful to complete the work until Jesus returns. I thank you, Lord, that no work will be left undone. But, Lord, you will lead, you will fill, you will multiply, you will increase, you will guide, you will correct. And, Lord, just take this precious anointing and let it do its work in Jesus' name. Amen.